The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
السلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers, welcome to another episode of Path to Success. Alhamdulillah Azawajal. In our Silsila Path to Success, we bring you many different topics. And today we have a unique topic with us, inshallah Azawajal. And today our topic is the importance of helping others. Now it could be that it's in your mind. Normally when we think about helping others, it's normally the thought comes to mind is financially helping others. But there are so many other means of helping others and how we can help others. Inshallah, we have our Muballigheen with us, inshallah, and they will bring different Madani pools in related to different ways of helping people and how we should step forward and help others, inshallah. So this is our topic. We have our Ustad Qamar Madani with us, alhamdulillah, and inshallah, we'll be taking Madani pools from Ustad Saab. We have Wasim Bhai with us as well, inshallah, and we have Ustad Tariq Madani, and we have our beloved Harun Bhai with us as well, inshallah. Our topic today on Path to Success, importance of helping others. Like I mentioned, normally the first thing comes into our mind is, when it comes to helping others, we are thinking about financially supporting someone, maybe giving someone help with our money, our wealth, but there are so much other means of supporting and helping others. It could be that you might be removing a difficulty from someone's pathway. This could be a means of helping others. It could be that you may remove someone's worry, someone's difficulty by helping him, inshallah. It could be that you might make someone smile and he might be in a state of stress, but you bring happiness on his face. Inshallah, this could be a means of helping others as well, and many other ways, inshallah. So continue watching the silsila all the way to the end, and inshallah, you will learn how to help others and the importance of helping others. Let's start, inshallah, azawajal, by listening to the surah from the glorious Quran.
Main Allah Ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon. شیطانِ مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ
اور جب تم نے کہا اے موسیٰ ہم ہرگز تمہارا یقین نہ لائیں گے جب تک علانیہ خدا کو نہ دیکھ لیں تو تمہیں کڑک نے آ لیا اور تم دیکھ رہے تھے پھر مرے پیچھے ہم نے تمہیں زندہ کیا کہ کہیں تم احسان مانو
وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ وَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ
اور ہم نے ابر کو تمہارا سائبان کیا اور تم پر من اور سلوہ اتارا کھاؤ ہماری دی ہوئی ستھری چیزیں اور انہوں نے کچھ ہمارا نہ بگاڑا ہاں اپنی ہی جانوں کا بگاڑ کرتے تھے
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ
اور جب ہم نے فرمایا اس بستی میں جاؤ پھر اس میں جہاں چاہو بے روک ٹوک کھاؤ اور دروازہ میں سجدہ کرتے داخل ہو اور کہو ہمارے گناہ معاف ہوں ہم تمہاری خطائیں بخش دیں گے اور قریب ہے کہ نیکی والوں کو اور زیادہ دیں.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلی اللہ علیک یا یا رسول اللہ وسلم علیک یا حبیب اللہ.
Thank you.
you for the kalam of Al-Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, Subhanallah. And you can link it up with our topic today. That our topic today for the views of Madi Channel, Alhamdulillah, is important of helping others. And how you can link it with helping others is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the helper of all helpers. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will not even forget his ummah in the grave, on the day of judgment, on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be helping us on that time when in the poetry is talking about that a time that a father will forget his son. A father will forget his son. A mother will not be thinking of her own child. But at that time, who will be our helper? The beloved and the final messenger, sallallahu ta'ala sallam. Ustaz Sahab, beautiful topic today, importance of helping others. And to be honest with you, our beautiful deen, this teaches us time to time again from different verses of the Holy Quran to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the examples of the Sahaba ikram alayhi rizwan, on helping others. And as time has gone past, it's like we've moved away from this so to such an extent that people, there was a time when people were looking for opportunities to help others. Now opportunities will be in front of us, and yet we'll be running away from that opportunity in helping others.
It's such a topic in which we can cover so many different things. I want to start with the Quran, obviously, probably one of the most famous references in terms of helping each other. Is the part of the Quran, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَعَلَى تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ
MashaAllah.
So some key words here: birr, taqwa, ithm, udwan.
MashaAllah.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we should help one another in terms of goodness, in terms of piety, goodness and piety, and we should not cooperate with each other or help one another or facilitate in any way any action which involves sin or transgression.
Allah.
So in Tafsir Jalalain, it's clarified that here birr refers to implementing or acting upon what the Sharia has commanded, so fulfilling commandments of Sharia. And taqwa in this regard means refraining from actions which the Sharia has prohibited. That's one definition. We know there are so many different definitions of taqwa. One famous definition of taqwa is a quote from a waliullah rahimahullah. He said that taqwa is that your Lord should not find you in a place that he is displeased with.
Allah.
So you shouldn't even be in that situation.
Allah.
And the interesting thing is, when he said that, it wasn't about location.
Allah.
It was location and condition. So your Lord should not find you
Allah.
In that condition or location that displeases him or that may incur his wrath. So that's birr and taqwa. And ism is mentioned in this in Jalalain, that it means evil or misdeeds or wrongdoing. Udwan most specifically, in one word, probably transgression. So in terms of the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, breaking those boundaries. So that's the verse of the Quran in terms of helping one another to do good and to establish piety, but also not helping each other or not cooperating with each other rather in sin and transgression. The Prophet ﷺ told us that birr is a good character. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, ism, sin is that which creates restlessness in your heart, within yourself. So your heart is like your moral compass. If someone does something wrong, usually they will feel a response within themselves. That heartbeat, or the heart beating faster, that may be a sign that what they're about to do is wrong. I'm not talking about anxiety. People who have anxiety is different. We're talking about a general situation. When you're about to do something wrong, your heart will respond. If it has not been darkened to such an extent that there is absolutely no feeling towards transgression. And the last thing that I'd like to mention in this regard, Sayyidina Wabisa, Imam Ahmad mentions this, that he came to the Prophet ﷺ and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Wabisa, you've come to ask about birr and ism, you've come to ask about piety and sin. And he said, yes. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam struck his chest.
Allah.
Okay, he combined, he joined his fingers and struck his chest. And he said three times, he said, istafti nafsak or istafti qalbak. Both things are mentioned in different narrations. Ask your soul, ask yourself, or ask your heart. So they are, that's the moral compass. And then he explained that in terms of goodness or piety, whatever gives your heart and your body or your soul and your heart contentment, that's good. And what creates a feeling of restlessness within yourself, that's, this is the overview, that is sin. So regardless of whether people are giving a verdict for it to happen. So coming back to this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly commanded us in the Quran. He's later in the 30 para, we know in Surah Asr, Allah has also described the quality of the believers, that they encourage each other to be patient and encourage one another in terms of the truth, or urge the truth in terms of their mutual relationship with one another. But helping each other is a theme of the Quran, the essence of our religion. There are many ways of helping each other. Inshallah, we'll cover many of those ways in today's program.
MashaAllah, Ustaz have beautifully explained the verses of the Quran related to helping each other. Also, the other thing which I picked up from there was that, you know, we tend to help each other, but it could be that we are helping each other towards sin, towards wrongful actions. And obviously, what we are talking about, the importance of helping each other, is helping each other towards goodness, or relieving them from their worries or their difficulties or their problems. So helping each other, we're in such a time, in such a society, we're seeing by the people are helping each other, but helping each other in the wrong way. You know, it's like you get some addicts, they're addicted to drugs, and when someone comes to them for help, you know, someone else wants some drugs, and you know, they easily give them for free. And this is a way of them connecting them towards the wrongful action and the wrongful activities. Whereas we should be helping each other towards goodness and towards good actions, and all relieving them of their worries. Do you want to see, where do you want to start off?
Just here, Rahman Bayan, obviously whenever we're helping anyone, it should be in the boundaries of Sharia. That is the essence of what we're speaking about today, that it must be in the boundaries of Sharia. You know, today we get many opportunities that people are asking us to help them at times, you know, where it's a sin is being committed. But this is somewhere that we should refrain from. But if it's something that pleases Allah, we should be on the forefront trying to help that individual, and this is how we should live our life. But mashallah, our Qamar Madnisha, mashallah, he mentioned the beautiful ayah in the Holy Quran. I just want to mention what Mufti Ahmad Yarani mentioned about this. He says, help means to assist each other in some form, assistance in general, financial assistance, verbal assistance, assistance by means of body means, or providing whatever kind of assistance as per the need and the capabilities of the person. So Abdul here we hear that, you know, there's many ways that we can offer someone help. And today, you know, we meet people, everyone is stuck in a different difficulty and needs their problem to be resolved according to their needs. So what we mention here is that there's many, many opportunities, and like you mentioned beautifully as well, especially in today's day and age, especially in the climate they're living in at the moment, especially with what's happened in the last 24 months, people are in great need. And alhamdulillah, it's our job to help people where we can as well. And how can we do this? One of the things that Mufti Sahib mentioned was verbal assistance. Just your words can have a huge, huge impact on a person's life. You know, for you, it might be something small, but for that person, it could change their life. And we hear this from narrations as well. If you look at Dawat Islami, that there's many people, just a few words from a muballig, and alhamdulillah, this changed someone's life as well. And alhamdulillah, one thing that we encourage to do as well is give hope. You giving hope, this is also a means of helping someone. Because there's many people right now, they're going through very, very various difficulties. You just by raising your hands and making dua for them straight away, this is also a form of help as well, because we have been encouraged to make dua, because dua is the weapon of a believer. Then the other thing is just saying, brother, don't worry, inshallah, everything will be okay. Inshallah, if you need any help. These are things that, you know, it can boost a person's point of view, inshallah, azza wa jal. So verbal assistance, this is something that we could all do. Because, you know, financial and the others, maybe we're not capable. Someone needs some advice. Maybe we can't give that advice. But verbal assistance, this is something that, especially giving hope, every single person can do.
MashaAllah, Wasim Bhai beautifully put that forward. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the time we only think that help is done through wealth, or supporting people with wealth. Well, alhamdulillah, supporting people just verbally, just helping them, just giving them ease and comfort, And especially in the difficult times we are going, you see that, alhamdulillah, many of our muballigins, in the time of last year when people were in lockdown, people were ill, people were falling in and going into hospitals, alhamdulillah, many of our muballigins were stepping forward and contacting these people, and they were supporting them in the sense, just verbally helping them. Inshallah, we'll have dua done for you, inshallah, azawajal, along with this, alhamdulillah, azawajal. But it's just giving them comfort in the sense that, look, death is something which is written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes you can, you might hear that from the doctor's point of view that, you know, the person's only got this much time left. And alhamdulillah, you know, when you try to comfort someone at that time and just give them hope and make them believe that inshallah, azawajal, if Allah wills, they will able to live a long and a healthy life after this. And we've seen that many people came out of this struggle and many people came out of this difficulty in these difficult times. And alhamdulillah, and they will remember your words. They will remember those words which you comfort them with. And they will refer back to them, you know, you said this and alhamdulillah, that gave me hope. And inshallah, azawajal, this verbal help, it's a very easy way of helping people and giving them comfort, inshallah. The Ustaz Sahab, our mauzu hai, importance of helping others. Bohut sari cheeze isme aa sakti hai, bohut sare matlab waqiat hai in related to this. Aap kahan isko, kahan se shuru karenge?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ne surat al-hajj, ayat number 77 mein ishaat sunaya, ke waf'alu al-khayra la'allakum tuflihun. اور بھلائی کے کام کرو لعلکم تفلحون تاکہ تم فلاح پا جاؤ. یہاں پر وفعل الخیر کی شرح میں حضرت عبداللہ بن عباس رضی اللہ تعالیٰ سے مروی ہے کہ اس سے مراد بالنفقت و بصلۃ الرحم و مکارم الاخلاق. یہ تین چیزیں میں نے بیان فرمائی کہ یہ ساری چیزیں خیر میں آتی ہیں کہ خرچ کرنا بھی ان کی مالی مدد اور صلہ رحمی کرنا ان کے ساتھ اچھے تعلقات رکھنا اپنے بلڈ ریلیشن جن کے ساتھ ہیں اور اسی طرح سے مکارم اخلاق اچھے اخلاق سے پیش آنا یہ بھی اس میں شامل ہے. اور فرمایا کہ لعلکم تفلحون تاکہ تم فلاح پا جاؤ اور تم سعید بن جاؤ اور تم جنت میں کامیاب ہو جاؤ. اور یہاں پر اس کی تفصیل بھی کی گئی ایسا شخص جو ہے دنیا میں بھی کامیاب ہے اور آخرت میں بھی کامیاب ہے. اور عبدالرحمٰن بھائی میں اس میں یہ بھی عرض کروں گا کہ اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ نا اپنے بعض ایسے لوگوں کو چن لیتا ہے کہ جو لوگوں کی مدد کرتے ہیں اور جو لوگ مدد کرتے ہیں کہیں یعنی وہ خوش نصیب لوگ ہیں. یہاں پر اس حوالے سے ایک روایت بیان کروں گا. امام طبرانی نے اس کی تخریج فرمائی ہے. عن ابن عمر رضی اللہ عنہ قال رسول اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم بے شک اللہ تعالیٰ کے کچھ گروہ ہیں کچھ گروپس ہیں اللہ تعالیٰ نے ان کو نعمتوں کے ساتھ خاص کیا ہوا ہے. انہیں ان کے بہت سی نعمت ہے لوگوں کو نفع پہنچانے کے لیے لوگوں کے نفع کے لیے اور اللہ تعالیٰ ان کو مقرر فرما دیتا ہے وہ اس سے خرچ کرتے ہیں. اگر وہ اس سے رک جائیں یعنی کہ وہ لوگ خرچ کرنا چھوڑ دیں تو اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ ان سے وہ نعمت چھین لیتا ہے اور وہ نعمت پھر کسی اور کو عطا فرما دیتا ہے. اور یہاں پر ایک شاعر نے بڑی پیاری بات کی, ابو تاہیہ اس کا نام ہے, کہتا ہے کہ اقبل حوائج مستطعتا, جتنی تم طاقت رکھتے ہو اتنی لوگوں کی حاجتیں پوری کرتے رہو. وکن لہمی اخی کا فارج, اور تم اپنے بھائی کی مشکلوں کو دور کرنے والے بن جاؤ. اور کہتے ہیں کہ فلا خیر ایام الفتا یوم قضی فیہ الحوائج, کہتے ہیں کہ بہترین جو دن ہے وہ جوانی کے دن ہے, بہترین دن جوانی کے دن ہے اور بہترین دے وہ دن ہے کہ جس میں تم کسی کی حاجت کو پورا کرو. تو اللہ تعالیٰ ہم سب کو بھی لوگوں کی حاجتیں پوری کرنے والا بنا.
Ustaz Sahab, this the point you mentioned about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picks specific people to help. This is unique, you know. And the ones who have this ability of helping others, alhamdulillah, they should be you can say they should be happy that Allah has chosen them to be amongst the people who are helped, because there's so many. I was started just today as I was dropping my kids to Jamiatul Madina, driving there, and there was this one car. It was either installed or it wasn't starting, and it was sort of at this angle blocking a lot of the cars. Now every car which seemed to be going past it was just turning and going, just driving past it. not realizing that the you know, they, obviously they realize the car is there, but they're just going around and no one's willing to stop to help. And as I got there, I said to my son, I said, go on, just give him a bit of hand and push the car at least to the side. And he got out of the car and he helped push the car. And just thinking this, all these cars which were just going past, one by one, they were just all overtaking it and just driving past. No one was considered thinking of being a means of help. And alhamdulillah, you know, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this ability, this opportunity, we should step forward. There was a brother, Ustaz Saab, he mentioned that, you know, there were times when if he found someone standing at the bus stop, now the person is standing at the bus stop, especially he said if he's an elderly person, if he found an elderly person standing at the bus stop, you know, he would stop by and he would give him a lift. He said, wait, you know, if you're going this way, I'm going the same direction, I'll drop you home. And he goes, number of times, this one brother would drop elderly people to their homes, picking them up from the bus. No, the person's waiting for the bus. Obviously, bus is going to come, he will take him. But yet he used that as an opportunity to step forward and be a means of some of these people's du'as and be a means of people's help. So dear viewers, alhamdulillah, this make yourself amongst them people who are a means of helping people. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects these people to help. And we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst them who are helping others. Because when we are helping others, there will come a time that when we will also be in need of help. And when we are in need of that help, inshallah, so you'll find that there will be someone to help us always. And you know the example, I don't know, Wasim, but you probably never heard this example, but Ustaz Saab would have heard it. And some of the, those who've studied in Pakistan as well, you probably you'll find him and mention in some of the Urdu books, Ustaz Saab, that about that mice who became caught by the lion. And the mouse said to the lion that, you know, let me go and I will help you one day. When you are in trouble, I will help you. And what happens is that one day someone puts a net over the lion and the lion gets caught. Now that the same little mice, he comes crawling and he says, you know, I did say to you I will help you. And he starts to knit away that net with his teeth, and it helps and it releases that lion. So what did the lion do? It helped. It put away that mouse's worry for a while, and that mice became a means of his help. And this is something, these are lessons for us that we should be learning. When we are helping others, you know, it will always come back to us. When we are in difficulty, you know, the day you will stop for someone who is on the side of the road whose car is broken down in need of, and if you are ever broke, your car is ever broke down, you'll find that someone will stop for you as well. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah, we have seen this in life and in examples, and you will learn from this as well. So dear viewers, always step forward to help others. Ustaz Saab, our topic, helping others,
is one other element which sometimes we don't think of, or we may not think of helping when it's a negative situation. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, once he said to the companions mentioned in Bukhari, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw madhluman." So he said, help your brother,
Allahu Akbar,
whether he's an oppressor,
Allah,
or
Allah,
oppressed.
Subhanallah.
So the man who was listening to the Messenger of Allah, he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now I'll help the oppressed one, because obviously he's a victim of oppression.
Subhanallah.
But how should I help the oppressor?
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
Obviously he's doing something wrong. He's the one who is doing the injustice. So how can I help him?" And that's when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that stopping him is helping him. That's his help.
Subhanallah.
So the reminder for us is that when we enjoin good and we condemn evil, this is actually helping people.
Subhanallah.
Both elements are helping people.
Beautiful.
When we're bringing people to goodness, we're acting upon the verse that was already quoted. We're trying to encourage them to do good. But when we stop them with wisdom, in any way we can, obviously in every permissible legal way, we discourage them and dissuade them from doing things that are wrong, oppression, transgression, that actually is helping them. So in this invitation towards goodness, this reason or principle which makes this ummah, one of the reasons why this ummah is considered to be the best of the nations is this quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. So when you're trying to encourage people to do good, at the same time, when you stop them or discourage them from doing something bad, that is also a help, and we should consider this too.
SubhanAllah. Dear viewers, beautifully you start up, let's put this forward. Helping the people in inviting them towards goodness, forbidding them from evil, stopping them from doing wrong. This is also a great means of help as well. A lot of the viewers will be watching today our silsila. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you'll be connected to some sort of goodness in another. And you will also see that if you invite those who are not connected to that goodness, you'll be helping them to coming towards goodness. And in the same way, if there's someone who's doing wrong, then explaining them, telling them in a nice way that this action is wrong, refrain from this action. And inshallah as well, this will also be helping them as well. Waseem bhai, I can see that you want to start on the side of helping people financially, because alhamdulillah, I see that you have a great desire for this, inshallah. Because alhamdulillah, we've seen that alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is a great means of helping through people financially, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal. This is a great help. And to some extent, you know, there's one companion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam, Sayyid bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You know, he was made the governor of Khams. Now, he's made the governor of Khams, and when Amirul Mumin Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, he asked for the list of the most poorest people of Khams. And his name is on top of the list. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sends him a great amount of salary. He's paid well because governing the land. Yet his name on the poorest people. So when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked the people of Homs, why is the name of Sayyid bin Amir as the most poorest people of Homs? And you know, it was mentioned that whatever wealth he got, right, he would pay off his debts, he pay off people he owe, and he would buy whatever he need was necessity, and the rest of his wealth, the rest of his entire wealth, he will give it to the poor. This is how the passion the Sahaba Ikram had, that whatever they possessed, they gave it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They helped in the poor. They didn't keep anything extra for themselves. This was the extent they helped.
MashaAllah. Right now, if you look at it, we can help many people throughout the world. If you look right now, approximately 811 million people around the whole world, they go to sleep hungry. They haven't got enough food to put onto the table. They go to sleep hungry. 811 million people throughout the world. Now, one way that we can help, alhamdulillah, is again through the environment of Dawat Islami. Dawat Islami throughout the whole world, mashallah, is part of this great work of providing food for people, and especially during COVID, but even after COVID as well. If you want to support those people, if you look at those deserted areas where no one goes, alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is providing relief at those places as well. So I would urge all those that are watching, that look, you know, if you just look at our shopping for a whole week, how much hundreds of pounds we are spending a month. Just why? To put food into the cupboards and into the fridge as well. But these people, they have nothing at all. So alhamdulillah, support Dawat Islami, give your donation to Dawat Islami for this month as well. And inshallah, Dawat Islami will give your food, give the food to you, these needy people, inshallah. And the other thing that I would like to say here as well is, at the time of Qurbani, one beautiful thing is said to the platform of Dawat Islami. That when you're giving your Qurbani to Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, Qurbani is done in such places by Dawat Islami where people, they don't eat meat all year round. Okay. Now, if you look at us, you know, every week there's meat in our homes. But these are those people that they don't have enough money all year round. They don't have any meat at all. But alhamdulillah, through the Qurbani that Dawat Islami does, alhamdulillah, food and meat is provided to these individuals as well. So yes, one great action that we could all become part of is doing sadqa, inshallah, giving food to other people. And because everyone needs to eat, to survive, we need to eat, inshallah. So this is one great way that can help others, inshallah.
MashaAllah.
In terms of helping others financially, you know, sometimes you think we need to give someone a big lump sum, or, you know, usually that's the perception that people have in mind. But sometimes, you know, even your smallest amount of help can be a means of very, very big help for someone. I remember a while ago I came across this, it was a post on social media, and what would happen is basically people would send in like a good deed that someone had done or they had done, and then, you know, some of them would get published in a section of the newspaper. And one of them, they read that there was a person, he was stuck somewhere, and he needed to get somewhere. So he was needed of some fare for the bus or the train to commute. And obviously, a gentleman came along and he gave that person the fare. And he said, I want to thank this certain person who gave me the fare. because of your this little share, this contribution,
Allah,
I was able to get to the hospital and see my relative. I'm not sure, it was a really close relative for the final moments of their life.
Allah.
Because obviously they were in critical condition. So, you know, we may think what, you know, a pound, 2 pound going to do for someone, or we might think that's not of great help, but that could mean, you know, a lot for the person themselves. So never look past, you know, help seeing it as too small, or, you know, that it won't impact someone. In fact, regarding this, I came across another a story, a parable as well, which I found beautiful and which linked to our topic as well. It was that there was a group of robbers, and they would, you know, go doing their robberies, and one day they stopped by an inn, which is a place where people could rest and stuff, and they stopped by this place and they pretended to be those in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah.
So traveling in the way of Allah. So this person who was responsible for the inn, he took them in. Not only did he let them rest, but he also fed them, he gave them food.
Uh-huh.
In the morning they woke up, they went on doing their thing, you know, on the looting sprees. And in the evening when they returned, they saw that the innkeeper, the person who was responsible, he had his son. And the night before when they saw the son, he was
disabled.
Yeah. So obviously the son now is walking, he's running around freely, and they're shocked, they're astonished, like, okay, what's happened here? So they inquired, they say, you know, the son we saw of yours, he was not so well yesterday, but all of a sudden he seems fine. And the innkeeper, he says, the thing is, well, yesterday, after you guys had eaten,
uh-huh,
the leftover food that you had left, I gave him with the intention, with the blessing that, uh-huh, you know, this is the leftover food of those who are traveling in the path of Allah,
uh-huh,
and the water that you drank had massaged over his body, in hope that, you know, this may give him cure.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, by virtue of this, he was cured, and he's fine.
Uh-huh.
And by this, you know, they were really moved, and they got really emotional, and they said that, you know, the matter is nothing like this. We're not actually traveling in the path, we're grave sinners. And, you know, it really moved them, it really shocked them, and then they repented and they became good people. So even, you know, apparently letting someone stay overnight or giving them a meal, what the person had did may not have been, you know, something from his side, a very great thing, but in the end ended up changing their lives. And in the same way, you know, we should think that if someone comes to us for help, maybe we don't know how much this means to them or how much this can impact their lives. And that's why whichever opportunity we get, obviously if it's within our means, to try and help the person who's coming.
I've seen that sometimes people give with such sincerity. You know, there's an incident where I remember Dawud Islami was doing a collection, and this one young lad came. He must have been about 16, 17 maybe. And you know, he says, I want to give something of mine for the works of Deen. And anyway, I said, okay, no problem, I'll take it. And not thinking that, you know, what he's gonna give. And he took out one of them, you know, the what you get in the banks where you put your coins in that, it, like an envelope sort of. So he took one of them out, and in them there were coins. There were 1 pence coin, 2 pence coin, there was 5 pence coin, 10 pence coin, 20 pence probably. So these change basically. I think if you combined it together, you probably would not have got £2 from that amount. But the, you know, the way he was giving and the way he wanted to give it, and he said, this is from my saving. And he gave with such love, and you know, Stasab, he actually made me think, you know, sometimes we've got so much,
yes,
and yet we don't give.
And we have to understand that we don't know the financial situation of everyone. It's a private thing. People don't share these things often. And if it's a poor person, then his £1 has more value and more weight in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than £1,000 from someone who's quite rich. Especially if he's a business tycoon or a millionaire or something. So according to your ability, your capacity, given the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing I'd like to mention here, based on the famous hadith in Muslim, as reported by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that, he said the dinar, he said, it's spent in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it may be spent to free a slave, it may be spent on a destitute person, a miskin, and it may be spent on family members, on the family. From all of them, this is the noteworthy point.
Allah.
The most rewarding is the dinar or the dinars that are spent on family.
Subhanallah.
And another reason, just to complement this, this is helping. This is why we're mentioning
Subhanallah.
This. We don't have to shout it out and publicize it. I am giving you sadaqah.
Allah.
You know, I am helping you. The way it should be done, especially with family, you maintain their dignity and you keep it, make it discreet. You don't even have to mention the word sadaqah.
Allah.
You can just buy something for them. It doesn't have to be money. You see something is needed, you try to provide for them. And the negligence that we see in this day and age, the selfish nature of many, where any saving, the person is thinking about himself, I can use this on this action for this holiday or for this particular luxury. That thinking has gone. In the time of Qutb al-Madina, rahimahullah, where he said, the shopkeepers, if one he had good, he sold a lot, and his brother didn't, he would say, go to my brother.
Subhanallah.
He's not sold much today.
Even that he's got that item to sell.
It's absolutely permissible for him to serve the customer. It's actually, you know, people say, oh, it's jai. It's not always about permissibility. It's about sincerity and generosity. So he's helping his brother. I've sold enough for today. Go to my brother. And the other hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi, the conclusion from that is that when you give in the a sadaqah, that's one sadaqah. But when you give to your family members, it's double.
Subhanallah.
Because as Ustaz Sahib mentioned as well, that it's the fact that you're giving in the way of Allah, that's one. And secondly, you're maintaining ties.
Subhanallah.
That maintaining those familial ties and preserving those familial ties, it has such significance in our religion that sadaqah becomes twofold or it's doubled. So we learn from this and we try to spend and help, financially help our families, inshaAllah.
So remember, just want to follow up what Sasa mentioned as well. Just want to touch upon another point. That today what happens is that, you know, if we help someone, you know, that person's got to remember for the rest of his life that I helped him. You know, as soon as, you know, a situation arises, remember I helped you at that time. Remember
that, it's more in family, yes.
Remember that difficulty that you were going through, I was there for you. No, then they want to say, no one else was there for you, I was there for you. So, you know, this also, you need to reflect upon this point that why were you doing it? Was it for the pleasure of Allah or was it just to have the upper hand? This is something that people need to contemplate about, is look, you're helping someone, just forget about it now. Even that person, sometimes, alhamdulillah, we meet people, okay, you've helped someone, they keep reminding you, alhamdulillah, jazakallah, you reminded me at that time, you helped me at that time, sorry. But on the other hand, there's these people as well that remember the time that I helped you, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you were going through that difficulty, I helped you. So it shouldn't be the case. You know, if you have helped someone, that's it. Brush under the carpet, leave the reward with Allah, inshallah. Allah will give you his ajr as well. But this is a huge, huge problem that we face. Then the other side as well, that if you're helping someone, everyone has to know. You know, the selfies come out, it has to go on social media, we want that person to tell everybody. And then unfortunately, if you look on an international level as well, what's happening is that you get charities, you're helping someone, and what happens is that pictures are taken, meaning you're giving something small to the person, but it's being publicized around. How do you think that person is feeling? You've just given him probably one day's of ration of food, but the amount of publicity that is done behind it, it's huge. So yes, we need to help someone, but we need to keep the respect of the individual in mind as well, inshallah.
MashaAllah. So many things to learn regarding helping others. Yes, dear viewers, today we are helping people. Many of us are helping people. What is our intention behind that? What is our niyat behind helping them? And today, when we are helping people, we want our photo to be taken with them. We want basically our name to be mentioned that this person helped out. You know, if someone gives something in the masjid today, even if he's just given a £5, Harun bhai, he give £5 in the masjid, an announcement has to be made. You know, Haji Sahib has given £5, make dua. SubhanAllah. There's a whole list of people whose names have got to be mentioned. And if someone's name is left out on that list, then I feel sorry for the Imam Sahib, he didn't mention the name of that person. This is how it's become that how when we are helping or when we are giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want our name to be mentioned, we want it to be publicized. Although if you look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Farooq Azam, you know, they would help at that time or in the time of darkness or in night, or even to a blind person, someone who didn't know and they wouldn't not even mention the Sasab. मतलब नाबीना की मदद करना, someone who didn't know who the person was, and the reality was the person didn't know who used to come and help him. He would come, clean up in the morning, make the food and go. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala would say, who is this? We want you to know who the person, when he went hijjing and he find out that this was Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah. And also, just aapne wo farmaya ke madad karne ki sirf wealth ke zariye nahi, balki there are also so many ways we can help. Quran ki 100 mein is tarah ke mazid qisas maujood hain. Yahan par ek aur main ayat ki taraf ishara karna chahunga, surah al qasas ayat number 23 and 24 mein ek wo waqia zikr kiya gaya hai. Hazrat Shuaib alaihi salatu wasalam ki do sahabzadiyan thi, wo janab مدین کی طرف آئی اور مدین میں تو وہاں پر ایک کنواں تھا, اس کا یہاں پر ذکر کیا گیا ہے کہ ولما وربا ماء مدین وجد علیہ امۃ من الناس. حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام جب وہ مدین تشریف لے کر آئے تو وہاں پر جو کنواں تھا وہاں پر لوگوں کو پایا کہ جو ہے لوگ ہاتھ سے اپنے جانوروں کو پانی پلا رہے, اور وجد من دونہم امرأتین, اور وہاں پر دو عورتوں کو دیکھا کہ وہ بھی جو ہے موجود ہیں لیکن پیچھے کھڑی ہوئی, وہ پانی نہیں پلا پا رہی ہیں, اتنا رش ہے. تو حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام نے پوچھا کہ کیا بات ہے, تو کہا کہ یہ ہم اتنی طاقت بھی رکھتے ہیں کہ ہم ان کے وجود میں گھس کر ذرا وہ یہ پانی نکال سکیں, اللہ اکبر. تو حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام نے حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام اس وقت یہاں پر اس کی تفسیر میں لکھا ہوا کہ حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام اس وقت جو ہے بھوکے بھی تھے اور سفر کا یہاں پر یہ لکھا ہوا ہے ما کان یعانی من التعب والنصب من جراء الصف الطویل والمسافة الشاسعة التي قطعنا من مصر الى مدین, کہ جنہوں نے مصر سے مدین تک سفر کیا, اتنی بھوک اور شدت کا عالم تھا اور اتنا لمبا سفر انہوں نے کیا تھا جب وہ فرعون کے اس طرف سے وہاں سے نکلے تھے مصر سے. تو حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام نے کیا کیا, ایک بھاری پتھر جو دوسرے کوہ پر رکھا ہوتا جو تیسرا رفع بھی نہیں اٹھا سکتے تھے, انہوں نے اس وقت وہ پتھر ہٹایا اور وہ کنویں کی طرف جیسے دونوں عورتوں کو بلایا کہ اس میں سے پانی پلاؤ. تو یہاں پر یہ ہمیں معلوم ہوتا ہے اس قصے سے کہ ہیلپ, کہ ہم لوگوں کی ہیلپ اس طرح سے نہیں کر سکتے ہیں. اور پھر انہوں نے پورا بیان کیا ان دونوں خواتین نے کہ ہمارے والد جو بوڑھے ہیں, پھر پورے کاغذ میں بڑا زبردست قصہ ہے کہ حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام تشریف لے کے گئے تو پھر وہ تو حضرت شعیب علیہ السلام تھے. تو باہر معلوم ہی ہوتا ہے کہ ہمیں دوسروں کی مدد کرنا, یہ قرآن مجید فرقان حمید سے بھی اس کو انکریج کیا جاتا ہے جیسے کہ حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام نے کیا.
ماشاء اللہ, یس, ویری انٹرسٹنگ ٹاپک, اینڈ الحمد للہ یو کین سی دیٹ how many Madani foods we are learning from this. Inshallah we'll continue taking these Madani foods from the Muballighin, but we have a package inshallah as well. Also after this inshallah we've got the book of the day inshallah azwajal. So let's turn to the package inshallah, Kaniz Fatima's package, something which we can also learn as well from this inshallah azwajal, and then we'll turn to the book of the day. Ji,
Kaniz Fatima, good girl, Kaniz Fatima, everyone loves her.
MashaAllah, Raika, you've got wonderful marks.
I can sit in the class.
So what? There's so many students in the class, every student can't come first. MashaAllah, in the entire class, you've got the fifth position. In the whole class, there are only four students who have higher marks than you.
You have no idea. I told Ariba that I'll be first this time, but now she's going to make fun of me.
You don't need to worry about it, Raika. I will explain Ariba not to make fun of you. And teasing each other is not a good habit anyways. And if you wanted to come first only for the reason that you could prove yourself to be better than your other class fellows, then Raika, this is not something nice either. If we have any good attribute in us, then we should thank Allah Almighty. But we should not consider ourselves to be better than other people.
I'm sorry, now I won't think this way. But still, I should have come first.
It's okay, Raika, don't be so sad now. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Come on, Raika, let's have food.
No, sis, I don't want to eat anything.
What's the matter, Raika? Why are you so sad?
How much hard work I did. But still, you are behaving as if you failed your exams. No, I didn't fail, but I didn't come first either.
So what, Rika? It's obvious that the more you work harder, the better marks you will get in your exams. Like it is normally said, Manjada Wajada, meaning that he who tries becomes successful.
But you also come first all the time.
It's all right, Rika. Now do more hard work and study even harder. Inshallah, you will come first in the next exams.
But what if I don't come first in the next exams either?
First of all, let's eat first. Why are you upset with food? If you delay eating once the food has been served, then blessings in food depart. Our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that it is very important for us to respect the food. Come on, let's go and eat.
Yay!
Subhanallah!
Oh no! Sister, you just scared me!
I'm sorry, Rika. You got scared because of me. My intention wasn't to scare you or to make you worried. But you see how much courage Allah Almighty gave to this tiny ant. It never gave up.
It's gone now.
Rika, first thing first, we should make sure that we don't bother any living being like this, as you are just bothering this ant by blocking its way again and again. So avoid this. We should make sure that we don't trouble animals either. Did you know that once there was a woman who oppressed a cow and treated her very harshly? So despite her being pious, Allah Almighty put her in hell.
Astaghfirullah.
Secondly, Rika, did you see that the ant never gave up? Despite you bothering it and blocking its way again and again, it never lost hope. It kept making efforts to advance forward, and then it eventually succeeded in attaining its goal. When even a tiny ant doesn't give up, then how can you when you are a human? Allah Almighty made humans as best of the creation. So we should make sure that we don't give up at any cost.
What you're saying is right. I should not lose hope and courage in this way. Inshallah, in next exam, I'll study even more harder and try my very best to come first in those exams.
Inshallah!
Jazakallah, sister, for showing me the right way and guiding me.
Ameen wa iyyakum.
Kaniz Fatima, good girl. Kaniz Fatima, everyone loves her. She is truthful. She says the wrong and enjoys the right. Everyone loves her.
Ghufranaka, 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 Ghufranaka. Come on, Rika, let's play. No, Reba, there's exam right after the break. I'm revising for it.
Don't revise so much that you forget everything. And any help, you're not going to come first anyway.
No, you watch. This time, I'm going to be first in class.
Trying to come first, make sure you don't end up last.
No, Ariba, you shouldn't say like this. Our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has forbidden us from quarreling and making fun of others. On such occasion, you both should back each other, motivate and encourage each other.
Yes, Sister Kinis Fatma, you're right. I'm really sorry.
No, it's okay. It's fine. Just be careful next time.
Inshallah.
Sister, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Calm down, Rika. You can also fall down by running so fast. Mashallah, you seem to be very happy.
Yes, sister, look at this. I've come first.
Yay!
Mashallah. Thanks to Allah Almighty. Did you see, Rika? I told you, isn't it?
Yes, sister, indeed. You were right.
Dear children, we should never lose hope in the mercy of Allah Almighty, which is never-ending. And never give up the hard work.
Look at this. Congratulations.
Let's go and have lunch now.
I am sure Mom and Dad will also be very proud of me at home today. It will be so nice. We'll have so much fun. Look at my report card. Look at my marks. I'm really happy today.
Kaniz Fatima, good girl.
Kaniz Fatima.
MashaAllah, great, subhanAllah, Kaniz Fatima and Madani Pools, alhamdulillah, as well, great lessons for us to learn, our children to learn this, alhamdulillah. Dawat Islami has provided this for us, alhamdulillah, our children, inshallah, as well, so that they listen to these types of lessons and learn from them as well, inshallah. And inshallah, nice time for the book of today, inshallah, the book of the day. And inshallah, you will see what book of the day is, inshallah, and we'll have a little discussion over it. Gee, inshallah.
The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah.
Gee, mashallah. The book of the day is the 12 discourses of Attar, mashallah. This is that unique book, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, it's one of the, it's a combination of Amir Sunnat Damat Barakatuhum Ul Aliyah's recitals. Many different recitals are in this book, alhamdulillah, azawajal. And we should try to purchase this. Many lessons are there for us to learn, many different topics, alhamdulillah, azawajal. Things which make us reflect about knowing about sins, about repentance, about death, about the day of judgment. Many different topics, alhamdulillah, azawajal. And Ustaz Sahib, you probably know that, alhamdulillah, some of the recitals in this are those which we actually started to deliver beyonds from, deliver talks from. You probably must have delivered some talks from some of the recitals in this as well. Is also
my personal attachment to some of the booklets, in especially the Urdu equivalent was Qabr Ka Imtihan, the bayan of Amir Ahl Sunnat, and those were those days I became affiliated with Dawat Islami, and that the very first speech that I did, it was a translation or an attempt of translation of Qabr Ka Imtihan. And I think the interesting thing for me was, thinking back then, I never knew who Imam Ghazali was. So Hujjatul Islam, this wasn't a new term for me. Imam Ghazali, Imam Suyuti, the way Amir al-Sunnat describes in his speech, because I listened to the audio cassette first. In those days we had the audio cassette. And following from there, and then obviously the Risala as well became available at through the brothers who were selling the Maktaba stalls. So alhamdulillah, that speech, even today when I think about it, certain things, it triggers certain feelings, and you kind of relate to what brothers say when they first become affiliated with the religious environment, that those lessons they learn very early on, they tend to stay with them throughout their lives, and that's certainly the case with
Mashallah, such interesting stories, basically, and how they make you reflect. And you talked about that these were the bayans of Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatuhum Ul Aliyah. Amir al-Sunnat actually delivered these talks, and then they were put in a form of a booklet, and then alhamdulillah, we have these, alhamdulillah, azawajal, available. So for the viewers of Madani Channel, inshallah, try to purchase this, inshallah, this book, and read them, alhamdulillah, and all get so your children to read as well. Inshallah, a lot of interest. And Waseem bhai, mashallah, you also deliver bayans as well. You must have time to time use this great book of Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatuhum Ul Aliyah as well.
Definitely, Abdurrahman bhai, quite regular actually.
Alhamdulillah,
you can say that a lot of the mubalighin, a lot of the preachers of Dawat Islami that we hear from today, majority of them, you can say that potentially started from this book as well. This is the first book that they got, and alhamdulillah, this is where they delivered from as well. And you know, the other thing that I was just thinking about, Ustaz was just speaking as well, look at the Amir al-Sunnat style of beyond as well, mashallah. That, you know, really touching upon the basics of what happens after death, what happens when someone's passing away, and then especially in the grave as well, and trying to install the fear of Allah in people's hearts as well, mashallah. And this is the uniqueness of Amir al-Sunnat beyond that we have today, alhamdulillah. So I would urge everyone to buy this book, inshallah, azawajal, and keep reading, inshallah, azawajal, so this remembrance of death and the hereafter also stays with us as well.
Subhanallah. So dear viewers, inshallah, azawajal, before we continue on with our talk, a few naats, kalams have been requested, inshallah, azawajal. So we'll ask our Harun bhai to, inshallah, read some of the requested kalams.
Sallu ala al-Habib. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم قلت في لدي وسيلتي أدركني يا رسول الله أدركني يا رسول الله کچھ کرو ماہے اس
Can the Nath Khan read Mujhe Dar Pe Phir Bula La? A couple of shares for that is all for the viewers.
Thank you.
So we'll turn to the personality of today, and this is that great personality. Ustaz Sahab, alhamdulillah, you will know that regarding this personality, he was a great helper to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever there was a need of helping others, alhamdulillah. And this great personality is Sayyidina Uthman Ghani, radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani, he built that well, which was a well which alhamdulillah was donated for the cause of helping people, those who were in need of water as well, alhamdulillah.
Ji ji bilkul ji sami mere sun mein
Allah ne
farmaya ki jab nabi kam sallallahu ta'ala se madina tashrif lekar aaye aur us waqt dire ruma ye koi ka naam hai well ruma well iske ilawa koi aur kuwa nahi tha ki jisse meetha pani aata ho to nabi kam sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam ne irshad farmaya ki جو شخص دیر روما خریدے اور اس کو مسلمانوں کے دونوں کے ساتھ ان کی بکس کے ساتھ ملا لے, یعنی صرف اپنے لیے نہیں رکھے بلکہ لوگوں کو بھی پلائے, تو فرمایا کہ اس کو اس سے بہتر جو جنت میں ملے گا. تو حضرت عثمان غنی رضی اللہ تعالیٰ فرماتے ہیں کہ پھر میں نے وہ اپنی اصل رقم سے وہ خریدا وہ کنواں. یہاں پر حضرت عثمان غنی رضی اللہ تعالیٰ کا بھی ذکر ایک سمیلن میں کیا, اور ساتھ میں اسی ٹاپک جو ہمارا ٹاپک اس میں ہیلپ ہے نا, اتنی زبردست ہیلپ ہے کہ انہوں نے کنواں جو ہے وہ خریدا اپنے پیسوں سے اور پھر لوگوں کو کیا. تو آج بھی ہم
فرسٹ سوال اینڈ دین گیو اٹ آؤٹ فور دی اوپن فور ایوری ون, الحمدللہ.
اور دعوت اسلامی بھی الحمدللہ اسی طرح سے اپ جو اپ کو پتہ ہے جس طرح سے کام کر رہے ہیں, تو اسی طرح الحمدللہ اس سلسلہ میں
سبحان اللہ. جی وسیم بھائی, ریگارڈنگ دس یو نو وی ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ واز تھا سم مینشن اباؤٹ دی ویلز اینڈ ہاؤ ڈونیٹنگ, الحمدللہ دعوت اسلامی از ہیلپنگ in so many places, alhamdulillah, digging up wells, especially where these people have to travel miles and miles just to get water. Alhamdulillah, Dawood Islami is digging wells for them, hand pumps there, so the water is provided to these people.
It's mentioned that 3-4 hours they have to travel just to get to the local well to get water. And you know something else I was reading up the Hanan Bai was that, you know, if you just look at our showers, you know how easy we can access water today. All you do is open the tap and the water comes out. But these are those people that have to travel miles and miles to get water. So alhamdulillah, like Ustaz mentioned and yourself as well, that this department of Dawat Islami is digging wells, alhamdulillah, and mashallah, azawajal, hand pumps as well. So all those that are watching, inshallah, especially there's a lot of people that want to donate towards this. It's supposed to be about £800 to £900, and for a hand pump it's about £175, inshallah. So donate towards this, inshallah, azawajal. And you know, as many people that will, inshallah, benefit from that, inshallah, like a whole community will benefit from that, inshallah, azawajal.
Ustaz, coming back to our personality, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani, radiallahu ta'ala, such a unique personality. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave his two daughters in the hands of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani, radiallahu ta'ala. And this actually shows the greatness of the maqam of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani, radiallahu ta'ala.
Now that you mentioned that, that was something khas, that was something specific for Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Different sahaba, there were different qualities or glad tidings of different glad tidings given to different companions. Uh-huh. Some of them had a few excellences that were exclusive to them.
Uh-huh.
Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and another quality that only belonged to him,
subhanallah,
was seen, as mentioned in Tirmidhi, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the companions to express the pledge of contentment, the bay'ah, ridwan, Hudaybiyah, and they all expressed their pledge. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and as we know, he had gone to Makkah al-Mukarramah as a messenger on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when everyone had given their, expressed their pledge to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself placed one hand, his very own hand, over another.
Subhanallah.
And he said, Uthman has gone for a task of Allah and His Messenger, and he expressed the pledge on behalf of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and there was no hand better than that of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this pledge to be made on behalf of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlawi alayhi rahmah, he says that this quality, this situation where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed a pledge on behalf of someone, this only belongs to Sayyidina Uthman
radiallahu ta'ala. So beautifully shows the maqam of Sayyidina Uthman, and also shows the obedience of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, that when he went there, he didn't do the tawaf of the Kaaba, he didn't perform Umrah, and he came back in the state. Subhanallah, this was the maqam of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala. There's another segment which we have, dear viewers, alhamdulillah, and that is a blessed sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will go back to our topic as well, inshallah. Maybe, alhamdulillah, in this path to success, inshallah, we learn many things, alhamdulillah, through some segments, alhamdulillah, azawajal, through the book, through the personalities, alhamdulillah, azawajal. And one segment is that the beloved sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what the sunnah we have today for you viewers, alhamdulillah, is something which we commonly do, but how much do we know about this sunnah? And this is sunnah in related to eating, inshallah. You'll see what our muballighin I've got for this as well. Sunnah of eating.
Okay, start with this. MashaAllah, as soon as we say sunnah, the manners and or the etiquette of eating, and especially the way the stereotype is with the public, when food is mentioned or eating is mentioned among religious people, they have a big smile on their face, especially if the food is sweet food. So, although there is some truth in stereotypes, alhamdulillah, we know from our beloved Amir Ahle Sunnat that the kind of advice that he has given in terms of diet, in terms of precautions that one should take and having wholesome food, you rarely see that level of emphasis in other places. He's written a whole book about it. What more can we say?
You know, and unique book.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. And he says himself that his major influence in these matters of, because this can become a spiritual barrier if you don't behave in the right way. Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah. So it's a personality of Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah, and you see reflections of this in the way he advises because of his reading of Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah. So coming back to the topic, I won't mention the obvious ones, I'll mention a different one. So a point of etiquette is that when you sit down to eat, remove your shoes. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you do so, you will attain comfort. And it makes sense, it's logical. Some people just, it's a simple thing.
Yeah.
Even when you sit down generally, but especially for eating, remove your shoes.
That's how we have everyone sitting and eating on tables now. So, people still will, and it's in the living room, if they got laminate flooring, people still will be walking with the shoes on, they'll eat with their shoes on.
So we follow the advice, we try to follow the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, a very simple sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, removing your shoes when sitting down to eat and then sitting down on the floor to eat as well, inshallah. We see what the rest of the muballighin have got for us. You seem right.
I just want to touch upon the point that Sasa mentioned.
No, you're going to mention something because Sasa has already mentioned.
I'm moving on from Sasa. Sasa mentioned a point that you can do it that way, but we will follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I just want to mention here that the amount of research that has gone into this, and scientists and researchers are today saying, in other words, that the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate, that is the best way of eating. Meaning all those manners and the etiquette that he mentioned, today, alhamdulillah, this is what the researchers are today saying, that that's the best way of eating, alhamdulillah. So one that I would like to mention is obviously sitting down and eating, but eating with the hands as well. The reason for this is because I was absolutely surprised that there was a research that, you know, when you eat with the hands, this obviously it allows the muscles to also exercise as well, but at the same time, there's a lot of medical point of view, there's a lot of benefits as well. So we should try to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other point that I would like to mention is read Bismillah before eating. Because it's mentioned that a person that doesn't say Bismillah before eating, in other words, shaitan eats with that person. So if you want shaitan to be away from the dining mat, away from our home, inshallah, whenever you enter your home and you eat, inshallah, try to say Bismillah, inshallah.
جی استاد صاحب وسیم بھائی ہمیشہ ریسرچ کے ساتھ بتاتے ہیں کہ سنت کی بینیفٹ جب بینیفٹ ایوری تھنگ تھرو ریسرچ کچھ اور بھی سنت ماشاء اللہ سنت کی تو بہت ساری برکتیں ہیں مینی بلیسنگز آف دا سنہ آف دا پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اینڈ اینی اسپیسیفک سنہ از ویل الحمد للہ ایوری سنہ ہیز اٹس بلیسنگ
جی بہت سی سنتیں ہیں لیکن اچھا یہ ذہن میں رہے ہم سب کے کہ اگر اس کا کوئی سائنٹیفکلی طور پر ظاہری طور پر کوئی بینیفٹ ہے یا نہیں ہے تو تب بھی ہم نے اس کو سنت سمجھ کر عمل کرنا ہے اور اس پر ہمیں جو ہے نا وہ ثواب حاصل ہوگا تو یہ نہیں کہ سائنٹیفک اس کا جو ہے نا وہ فائدہ ہمیں حاصل ہو رہا تو ہی ہم نے کرنا ہے ایسا نہیں ہونا چاہیے یہاں پر میں بیان کرتا ہوں کہ سنت کھانے کی سنتوں میں سے یہ بھی ہے کہ بندہ کھانے کے بعد اللہ تعالیٰ کی حمد کرے اور دعا بھی کرے اور اپنے ہاتھوں کو بھی دھوئے اور کنڈی بھی کرے کھانے کی جو ہے نا وہ مذمت بیان نہ کرے اس کو برا نہ کہے روایت میں آتا ہے کہ ما عاد النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم طعاما قط ان اشتهاه اكله والا تركه ولم ياكل منه فرمایا کہ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے کبھی بھی کھانے کو عیب نہیں لگایا ان اشتهاه اگر پسند ہوتا تو کھا لیتے والا تركه ورنہ اس کو چھوڑ دیتے
سبحان اللہ انشاءاللہ بیوٹیفلی ڈونٹ برنگ فالٹس ان واٹ یو ایٹ اینڈ الحمدللہ آلویز پریز اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ فار واٹ ہیز گیون یو انشاءاللہ
This one, I'm a little hesitant in sharing, but I will do so anyway. And it may be very hard for many people, including, you know.
So you choose the very hard sunnah.
No, but you know, our job is to encourage and to convey. So the Prophet ﷺ, said that a man does not fill a container worse than his stomach. Merely a few morsels are sufficient for him to keep his back straight. If he cannot do so, then he should keep one third of his stomach for food, one third for water, and one third for air. Now, I believe, you know, when this society of food culture, you know, if you eat this much, you'll get this prize. We have, you know, places where we can go, you pay this much and you can eat all you like, etc. So, you know, all that is contrary very much to what I've just shared. But this is how it should be. You know, if you were to divide your stomach into three parts, only one is to be filled for food. So now, unfortunately, all three parts, and even those are, you know, to the brim with food. And, you know, this actually causes many, many diseases, many, many illnesses. And I think, like Ustaz Sahib said, just to reiterate, that this is one reason why Amir al-Sunnat, the Grand Sheikh, he has reiterated and emphasized so much on the importance of eating, because it is that which is causes not only spiritual illnesses, but also physical ones as well. So, you know, if you want a long, happy life of full of piety as well, then one way of unlocking that or enabling that is to eat healthy. Because you eat well in your, you know, you could say your youth leading up to your elderly age, and then you'll be able to have a good ending in
Mashallah. Way, Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Yes, these are a few sunnahs of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A point I'd like to add here, I'm smiling and you know I'm going to mention something like that, is people who they pick faults with the food, often they'll finish the food first.
Everything's finished.
Yeah, they've eaten it and then they'll say, oh, it was bitter, it was salty, khaliya sara. So they've actually finished it. If it was so bad, why did you... Then they might try to justify that by saying, no, it's sunnah to finish. I mean, you can't win some people. So, you know, on one side they're saying it's sunnah, so we finished it. But the other sunnah which they should be fulfilling, or the point of etiquette, not to criticize the food, they abandoned that sunnah element as well. So we have to be careful about these matters and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another point, they go into super taqwa mode, okay, just inventing that kind of term, right. Meaning that there is an etiquette. If you are going to a Muslim's house, if you have any reservations about the food or anything, there's a way of dealing with different situations. You're generally not allowed to be asking about the permissibility of food when the food has been laid in front of you.
Allah.
Okay, and sometimes they've consumed it, and then they ask about its halal halal it was and things like that. So this goes against the etiquette of being a guest. This is also something which is undesirable in the Sharia as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled us to not only follow the right etiquette in eating, but also as a guest as well.
MashaAllah. JazakAllah. MashaAllah. Some beautiful Madani poos there regarding eating, the sunnahs, the manners of eating, the etiquettes of eating. InshaAllah, before we continue with our topic, just going to mention the wazifa of the day, inshaAllah. Let's see what the wazifa of the day is, and inshaAllah, what's the benefit of this. Jeez.
Path of knowledge is the way to Jannah.
See, today's wazifa. If the fever is due to hot weather, write or get it written, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, 47 times. And have it plastic coated or sewn with leather, in leather or cloth. And then you can basically wear it around the neck, inshaAllah, and this will, inshaAllah, overcome the fever, inshaAllah. So, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, 47 times, writing this down and placing it in a taweez and around the neck, inshaAllah. So, this will take away the fever, inshaAllah. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to, when we are in this type of difficulty, this type of fever, alhamdulillah, these wazifas are there to benefit from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gee, our topic, inshaAllah, we'll continue on with it. So much to be said. The Sahaba, you have one side, the Ansar, and the other side, the Muhajirun. You know, a unique example of help, of helping each other. You know how the Ansar and the Muhajir, these people, they migrated. And they left everything behind. They have nothing with them. But when they came into Madinatul Munawwara, how the Prophet ﷺ taught them to help each other. They took them home. They divided half of the wealth. They distributed it. They gave it to each other. This was the uniqueness of helping.
सही फरमाना है ये वाकई में uniqueness है. हम ये तो सुनते हैं कि थोड़ा सा किसी को दे दिया.
Allah.
जैसे किसी की थोड़ी सी help कर दी. लेकिन मुहाजिरीन और अंसार صحابہ کرام علیہ رضوان ان کی ایک ایگزامپل ہے یہ کی ان ہسٹری میں کہیں اور ایسی جگہ نہیں ملتی ہے کہ گھروں کو آدھا کر دینا یا تو جو نا ہم دیکھتے ہیں کہ تھوڑا سا اگر گھر کسی کے آگے پیچھے کوئی باؤنڈری ہو جائے تو تھوڑی سی جو نا ایک آدھ بریکس آگے پیچھے ہو جائے وہاں پر جو نا لڑائی شروع ہو جاتی ہے لیکن آدھا آدھا اپنا گھر دے دینا اپنا مال دے دینا آدھے اپنا گارڈن اپنا باغ دے دینا اور صرف یہی نہیں یہ ایک اور اس میں بڑی زبردست ایگزامپل کہ ایسے بھی واقعات ہوئے کہ مہاجرین اور صحابہ کرام علیہ السلام کے درمیان کے بعض نے تو اپنا ہاف بزنس دے دیا یہ بہت بڑی بات ہے یہ ہوتا ہے کہ بعض کو بندہ کسی کی ہیلپ کرتا ہے کہ چلو کچھ مجھے نا مال دے دے لیکن اپنا بزنس دے دینا چلتا ہوا بزنس دے دینا ہاف اس میں سے کر دینا شیئر حالانکہ ان کے پاس انہوں نے کوئی اس میں مالی طور پر انہوں نے کوئی شیئر بھی نہیں لیا لیکن اس کے باوجود انہوں نے اس طرح سے ماشاءاللہ تو یہ مہاجرین اور انصار علیہ رضوان کی یہ مثال بہت کمال کی ہے اور میں یہاں خاص طور پر اسی ٹاپک کے حوالے سے ایک بڑی اہم روایت بیان کرنا چاہوں گا حضرت خدیجہ الکبریٰ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ جب غار حرا میں نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم پر پہلی وحی نازل ہوئی تو نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے حضرت خدیجہ کے پاس تشریف لائے اور فرمایا کہ لقد خشیت علی نفسی فقالت له کلا حضرت خدیجہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ نے فرمایا کہ نہیں ہرگز ایسا نہیں ہے اللہ کی قسم اللہ تعالیٰ کو کبھی بھی رسوا نہ کرے گا اتنا پیارا کلام کیا حضرت خدیجہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ نے اور اس سے جو ہے وہ پتہ رکھتا ہے کہ واقعی میں زوجہ ہو تو ایسی ہو کیا کلام کیا اب تو وہ جو کہ صلہ رحمی کرتے ہیں آپ تو سچی بات کرتے ہیں آپ یتیموں کی بے سہاراؤں کی مدد کرتے ہیں اور آپ
معدوم کے لیے کماتے ہیں. یہاں پر میں عبدالرحمان بھائی عرض کرنا چاہوں گا, ہم نے یہ اس کی مثال ہے, جیسا بھی ہم ہیلپ کے ٹاپک کے حوالے سے بات کر رہے ہیں, تھوڑی سی ہیلپ کر دینا کسی کو, یا جیسے موجودہ صاحب کرام علیہ رضوان کا, یہ بھی بڑی زبردست مثال. لیکن ایسی کوئی مثال نہیں ملتی ہے کہ کوئی شخص اس لیے کمائے. دیکھیں ایک تو یہ تو ہم بزنس کر رہے ہیں, ہم جاب کر رہے ہیں اور اس میں سے تھوڑا سا دے دیں کسی کو, یہ غلط ہے چیزیں, لیکن کمائے اس لیے تاکہ محتاجوں کو دیں, یہ ایسی مثال نہیں ملتی. تو یہ حضرت خدیجہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی پیروی کرتے ہوئے فرماتی ہیں کہ آپ تو وہ ہیں کہ اس کی شرح میں لکھا کہ آپ اپنا کام کاج کر کے, تجارت کر کے اور اپنے سننے پیشانی کے ذریعے, آنے والے تسلیم کے ذریعے آپ مال کماتے اور اس مال کا کیا کرتے, محتاجوں کو دیتے. تو اس سے ہمیں پتہ لگتا ہے کہ یعنی کہ یہ بہت بڑی ایگزامپل ہے,
there's so much to be said regarding helping others. Waseem bhai, you know, if you just look at how we can help, one is inside the house, the second is just as we step outside our doorstep, our neighbors, people around us, so many things are happening. For example, we could be helpful in the way we park our cars. This is a big issue today, you know, people park their cars right in front of their own house, so and they've taken one person's space on the right, one person's space on the left, three cars could have been parked. There was a brother who mentioned that, you know, sometimes in night he'll get up and he'll just have a look that if his car's parked, if he could move it forward a bit and maybe give someone space, you know, so it becomes easy to give him room. Same way, Waseem bhai, we've got other things. For example, you know, if you look at your neighbors, sometimes they are in need of help. You know, some of the elderly neighbors, if you got some elderly neighbors, especially those people who have a long drive, the bin bees are right at the front. To bring it out, just to place it at the front, so when the bin men come, they can take it easy, taking that bin back. These sort of help, people don't seem to have this type of thinking in helping in this way with the neighbors, with people around you. You know, if there's something in the pathway, it's all a matter of removing it. You know, if bin bags are there, they're left in the pathway, just removing it onto one side.
We're talking about helping others, but unfortunately we're living in a time where people are creating more difficulties for people instead of helping them out. You just mentioned it. I remember it was a few months ago, and basically someone had a drop curb, and you know, there was parking available on both sides. What did he do? Instead of parking at the right place, he just blocked the drive. His neighbor comes up, the neighbor goes, look, you've got space on that side, you've got space on that side. You can park it, there is no issue. First of all, I'm blocking the drive. And this is what it is, that just for no reason, causing distress to other people. So this is something that should be avoided. You know, we should be people that remove difficulties, not create difficulties. And Abdurrahman, the other thing that I would just like to mention that you were speaking about inside the house. Alhamdulillah, many people right now watching as well, we have elders in the home. Now, this is a great opportunity where we can help. For example, bringing them a glass of water, you know, a cup of tea or something like that. Or they need someone to do this. You know, sometimes the elderly people, sometimes they just need a little bit of nudge to get them up, or support to get them up. Something easy as that. But one thing I will say, you know, if you help an elderly person, the du'as will continue to come your way. You know, once you help an elderly person, the person just keeps giving you du'as, Allah will remove your difficulties. They continue and continue. And this gives you motivation as well to help one individual. The other thing that I would like to say is that sometimes someone could help us. Now, our response here should be that, you know, we should look like we are thankful to the person and follow the elderly people as well. That just give the person du'as, brother, jazakallah, Allah reward you. You know, when you give du'as to a person, it motivates that person to help another person in the future as well. And finally, I just want to mention one point here, Abdurrahman, before we hear some other people from Ustad Qamar Sahib as well, is in regards to our verbal help. Now, for example, you can really take someone from here to there by just the words you mentioned. For example, now, your child has done something good. Now, instead of saying, all right, you've done a good job, let's go. That's something as well. But if, mashallah, you did a brilliant job, you will see that the child, the next time that he does that, he will be extra great. Why? Because you motivated with your words. And motivation, you can either take someone to a different level, but unfortunately, on the other hand, you can demoralize a person as well. For example, now, and this is what people say as well, you know, when you're speaking to a child especially, use your words wisely. For example, now, your child, he's not able to do something. What do you say? Oh, you can't do nothing. You never did that properly. Instead of saying that, come on, son, let's do this together, inshallah. I mean, look at the difference.
But it's just a matter of words that you can use, that you can take someone from here to there. So this is also a sort of heart, that how you can help another individual, inshallah.
Yes, that's about, I just wanted to bring something towards, mashallah, I know you deal with quite a lot of people and alhamdulillah in society and try to help them. And you, it's something obviously you've experienced in with family issues. You know, we get elderly people or family members, for example, aunties, especially aunties, uncles, who don't live with us, but they are also in need of our help. So I was, other day I was discussing with a brother this topic that, you know, some of our other, like our mom's sisters, our father's brothers, etc., and, you know, uncles and aunts, and you find them that they're living on their own, mm-hmm. or their kids have moved on, or they, and we, it's just a matter of going and visiting them,
yes.
Speaking to them, just make them feel comfortable, just, you know, just ask, even picking up the phone and asking them how they are. This is also a great means of help.
Yes, the Wasim Bhai did touch upon it towards mm-hmm. the end, the moral support factor, and Ustad Tariq Sahib mentioned it through Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the moral support that a person can give through the right words is something which is priceless, whether it's encouragement for the young or encouragement for those who are adults. If we say something positive, it does have a positive effect on them. And we do not actually, we kind of overlook this and we take things for granted. When you don't acknowledge a good action or a good trait of someone, then you often stunt the development of that goodness. If you encourage it, you acknowledge it, that goodness will grow. And helping is also teaching people, guiding people, those who don't know about the deen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with understanding, or even putting them in the right direction, or guiding them to the right sources of help is also a help. And the what I mentioned earlier about being discreet in your help, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak radiyallahu ta'ala, and he had a student who was once imprisoned. He would travel to a particular city, and when he'd reach an inn, a young man would come and listen to hadith from him.
Allah.
So one day he wasn't around, and then he inquired about him, where's the young man? The people said, before he could find out, an expedition was called for, and he had to leave with the Muslims who were going. Then he returned and he asked about this young man. He was told that he's been imprisoned.
Allah.
Why has he been imprisoned? He investigated, found out that he owed someone 10,000 dirhams.
Allah.
Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak, radiallahu ta'ala, he went to the man who was owed. From his very own pocket,
Allah.
He gave him 10,000 dirhams.
Subhanallah.
But this is the key point now. He did that, but he said to him, as long as I am alive, you will not tell anyone.
Allah. Subhanallah.
And then he leaves. The young man is freed, and as soon as he's free, he thinks about his teacher, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak. So he travels for 3 days, he reaches the Shaykh, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak is saying to him, where were you? I was asking about you.
Allah.
And he said, I was imprisoned. Why were you imprisoned? Oh, I owed someone money. How did you get out? Oh, some pious person, he paid off my debt. And, you know, then Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak, he just gave him words of advice about being careful and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And even then, he didn't reveal it.
Allah.
So obviously, we come to know that it must have been revealed after his death. In the same way, there were widows, orphans who were being supported secretly by the ulama,
Subhanallah.
But many pious people. But even they did not know. When those pious people passed away, and that help stopped coming, they realized it was coming from them.
Subhanallah.
So the level of sincerity that we have seen in the past is something we should aspire to achieve, inshallah.
Inshallah, dear viewers, to be honest with you, don't know where the time has gone. A great topic which we discuss. As we finish out of time, we couldn't take some final Madani pool from the Muballighin. Continue watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path